The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, who is solely responsible for its content. Portions transcribed.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. We have with us for the fourth week in a row, attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here with us. We're here.
Now it's the O'Brien Law Group.
Yep.
And we are Century 21 Jack Ruddy, not to be confused with anybody in any of the towns. We're in Dunmore.
Okay. Right.
And you're in Taylor.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We got that out of the way.
Okay. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we sell homes, spill the tea, and maybe occasionally help our listeners avoid a real estate disaster.
That's right. An educated consumer is our best customer.
Yeah, I think we have a commercial to that effect, right, DC?
Something like that.
We have been appraising, listing, and selling real estate for over 50 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you go to jruddy.com, click on the webcam tab. Get a live view of Dunmore Corners 24/7. You never know what you're going to see. And we get thousands of hits a month on that camera.
View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobile-friendly jruddy.com. We're also, all the podcast apps that we feature this radio show are listed, and you can check the podcast out anytime. Catch us on social media. We're just about everywhere. Okay, attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group, Pinnacle Abstract, a little brief history of you, please.
Absolutely. I started practicing law in 2002, and I practice in the areas of real estate and corporate, commercial lending, and oil and gas law here in Pennsylvania for 20 years. And about a year ago, I opened a title company as well, helping buyers purchase homes.
Very good stuff. I want to talk about pitfalls in real estate contracts, what buyers and sellers often miss in the fine print, and how that could cost them, please.
So many things. We will never get to all of them today, but
we could have 10 shows on this.
We could have 10 shows on this, and we probably would miss some minor ones anyway.
Right, but and these contracts are all drawn up, right, the ones we use by the Pennsylvania Association of Realtors, by lawyers, right? So they think when they're doing this that they got everything covered, right? No?
Well, they're good contracts. They are definitely good contracts, but there are blanks that need to be filled in. And that's where you're going to encounter some of the problems. I mean, certainly, and I know 2 weeks ago maybe, we talked about for sale by owner. So that's not what we're talking about here.
We're really not supposed to give those contracts out because we are realtors who are members of the National Association of Realtors, Pennsylvania Association of Realtors, and the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors. We pay dues and fees to these associations. We are a professional group. And I know that sometimes the public does ask us for copies of this, but we're not supposed to be giving these out because Joe Smith doesn't know how to fill in those blanks.
Absolutely.
Now, this is the sales contract we're talking about.
Any contract, listing.
Any contract.
Seller's disclosure, listing anything. Contract, sales contract, all the addenda. So, you know, somebody might think that it's really easy and it's boilerplate and it's, you know, common sense, but then not so.
Not so. Sometimes even realtors don't fill it in correctly. And sometimes there can be ambiguities even when a realtor fills in the blanks on the contract.
And I want to point out, and I would always have my clients, buyer or seller, look at the, and I would take them through the contract. And I know that that's really not the case much anymore because everything is done digitally, e-sign. and it's quick and it's easy. And sometimes agents aren't reviewing line by line or summarizing the whole contract to their client. I get it, but they should. And I used to sit down at our conference room table and go line by line and do a summary of each highlighted paragraph. Before the signature line, a big capital letters in bold, it says, before signing, please, if you have legal questions, have an attorney, consult with an attorney.
Right. In other states, in particular, our surrounding states of New Jersey and New York, they require a lawyer to be involved in real estate transactions, even when they're using the realtor standard form contracts. In Pennsylvania, it's not required. So most people go at it without a lawyer because it saves on fees. However, many, many people do want to have an attorney on their side who can explain the contract and walk through it step by step and make sure that, you know, those blanks are included. And if someone has something very specific that they want included in the contract, that it is drafted appropriately. Very often I work with realtors, too, who are having trouble drafting a provision. For example, if I had one realtor call me and said, well, the buyer wants a survey of the property before he buys it. And the buyer and the seller have agreed that they're going to split the cost of the survey. I don't know how to write that in the contract to make sure that it is, because what happens if the contract falls through? Does the seller still have to pay their part? And so we had to draft it very carefully, and then, you know, they consulted with me, we dropped it in the contract, and we moved on with our day. But if things like that are ambiguous or not written appropriately, sometimes they can be misconstrued.
Absolutely. And PAR Legal tells us all the time, we shouldn't be writing our own provisions in the contract and our own contingencies when you have to put an extra in there. They say you really should have, you should consult, we should consult with an attorney for the correct language.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they're always, always, always. And we're not to call them for it. Mm-hmm. They're not permitted to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, they can just tell us what something in the contract means, but they will not give us the language. That's not what they're there for.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to see more and more of that.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Agents that are designing these contracts, designing the language, there could be some loopholes, and they're open-ended. It's not always closed.
Right. So one of the more interesting, so here's the thing. The goal of signing one of these contracts is everyone signs it, and everything goes so smoothly that no one ever looks at it again, and we close, and no one really has to rely on many of these provisions that we might talk about today. Because everything just went so smoothly and it went perfectly. The problem is, what happens when something doesn't go smoothly? What happens when the deal falls through and nothing has, there's a section of the contract that says, if no number of days is included in this space, then the deposit is returnable to the seller or to the buyer within, I don't know what it is, 180 days or something like that, upon, you know, a request from the realtor. Well, 180 days is a really long time to wait.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really long time. So usually if a realtor's concerned about a deal falling through and if the buyer wants it included, you want to fill in a number less than 180 in order to make sure you can get your deposit back sooner. Because that's a lot of money, because if that deal falls through, you want to go buy another house, and now you've got $5,000, $1,000, whatever it is, tied up in this other escrow for this house that just totally fell through. And that's one of those things. You want to make sure that all of those contingencies for financing or for inspections or for those kinds of things, those blanks are completed.
Yeah, and the blanks, you're right. Next to the blank, if somebody doesn't fill it in, if an agent doesn't fill it in, there's a default time frame. So that there is a time frame.
Absolutely.
Right? So the default for applying for a mortgage within the mortgage contingency is 7 days. Mm-hmm. An agent may change that to 10 days, 2 weeks, 14 days. So, and then the start for the title search.
Right.
Is 7 days.
Well, and this is the problem, is that buyers aren't reading the contracts they're signing.
That's
so
it.
They don't know.
They don't.
Yeah.
And so 10 days is the default time frame for property inspections. Right?
Yep.
So do a well test. Well, water test in 10 days.
It's very hard to get
Impossible.
Somebody out there. Yeah. If you're going to require, for example, when I review one of these, usually it's because somebody is related to oil and gas. The property has oil and gas. So they say, can you look over this and make sure that all the oil and gas terms are in there? And that's the first thing I call out is the number of days for the inspection and the number of days for the title search, because an oil and gas inspection or title search or a well water test is going to take much longer than 10 days. So I always say we've got to push that out, because I know these inspections are going to take us much longer to do. So those are the kinds of things that if you have specific concerns about the property, you want to make sure that they're covered, because the seller's not always going to be very flexible.
Right. Well, several years ago, you know, the title search didn't always have a time frame on it. And here's what was happening. So in our contracts, this was like 4 or 5 revisions ago where they put in the 7 days for title. But what was happening is agents were writing the contracts with a mortgage contingency of September 30th, closing October 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And what the title searchers were doing was waiting until they got the mortgage approval, right?
Yep.
So, to start the title search.
Closing had to get pushed a whole other month.
Right, right.
2 weeks,
so,
3 weeks.
And even now, I see contracts coming through, and agents are writing them with just a week between the mortgage approval, mortgage commitment date, and closing date. Mm-hmm. Not happening.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that just comes with experience for realtors, I think.
Yeah, so, but, you know, so then a lot of times, so then you're going for an extension, and that is not always to the delight of either party, because
yeah.
moving trucks have been scheduled, mm-hmm. people have to be places starting
another, or they're buying another home.
Right, so
yeah.
A lot can go wrong, right?
Absolutely.
So there are contingency, there's a lot of contingency confusion out there. When an inspection takes place that the buyer's not happy with, they can terminate the agreement of sale. That's one of the three options.
If you've reserved the right to do the inspection.
If you've elected them.
Yep.
And they get their money, deposit money back.
Right.
Okay. And a financing contingency where the buyer doesn't get the mortgage. And there's a lot of agents that don't realize this. Mm-hmm. So therefore, a lot of sellers and buyers don't realize this. But on a mortgage contingency that was elected for financing, buyer is denied.
Mm-hmm.
Seller in our PAR contract is the one with the right to terminate. Buyer is not. In fact, it even goes as far as to say, buyer can jeopardize their deposit money if they are the ones to terminate.
Oh, that's interesting.
The buyer must continue to place financing. Now, the other argument is, what seller is going to make the buyer go to 10 different lenders and extend and extend and extend?
Right.
Not many,
In reality, it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
Michelle,
right.
Didn't I tell you she should have been a lawyer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nobody knows this stuff. Everybody's got a problem. They go right
to
Jackie.
Well, she's a very experienced realtor.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
And she was a past president of the Board of Realtors also, you know.
Well, here's the problem with other agents from other companies. They get all upset when we point what's out in the contract. I never heard that before.
That's because you don't work with us.
Then of course, you know, the attitude, but whatever. We have to deal with all different types of personalities right there. So these things can put money at risk, at the earnest deposit at risk.
Absolutely.
All right. How about as is?
Yeah.
Is that an illusion?
Not always.
Okay, let's talk.
Not always. It is very ambiguous, though, because is it as is, but then what if FHA or VA, the lender, requires some additional repairs? It's not really as is.
Yeah, so sellers And especially on houses. Well, it could be their own house that they reside in. It could be a family home, and they just don't want to do anything. So they're very insistent, adamant that the property is going to sell as is. They're not doing a thing.
My son, Patrick, went to show a property, and it was listed as is, and it wasn't really a great house. Part of the wall collapsed right before he got there. So the back of the building was wide open. So is that as is?
Absolutely. They don't have to fix that if it's as is.
Now it's condemned.
Yep. He pulled up for the showing, and the police were standing in the front yard. So he gets out of the car, and his buyer's with them in tow. And so he goes up the steps, and he says, "Hi, what's going on? I'm here to show the property. Can I go in?" And they said, "No, you can't, because the back wall of the house collapsed." He could have been in that house.
Well, the bigger problem is what happens if that house, he'd already had that house under contract.
Oh, yeah.
And then the back wall fell out.
Right.
Now, is the buyer still obligated to buy it?
Because it's as is.
Right, because it's as is. That's the bigger question there.
Well, you're the attorney. What's your answer?
This is not a hypothetical. Well, this is real.
I'll tell you what I would do if I was the buyer.
Uh-huh.
Of course, it's a case-by-case basis, and what was in the contract, who knows? You know, we'd have to look at all that language. But if it were me, I'd jeopardize my deposit and walk away.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's very hard. Also, it's very hard to insure, like get title insurance on a condemned property, which is also a contingency. It has to be insurable title, and it's very hard for a title insurance company is not usually going to be able to insure a condemned property.
It's a half a house.
Oh, you know, back in the day, and I'm talking 30, 20 years ago, we used to put in every single contract. It was standard that all structural, plumbing, electrical, yada, 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 et cetera, to be in working order and condition at time of closing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we used to do.
But you have, in this area especially, we have a lot of investors who are buying properties as is, and then they want to fix them up. So they may not care that the electrical isn't great, because they're going to pull it all out and replace it anyway. So I think it depends on who your buyer is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So as is that not only in condition, I've had sellers say, as is, I'm leaving the contents. You know, whoever buys this, it's as
leaving it full of junk.
Yeah. And very often that
is full of junk.
Especially in an estate situation. The family says, we've taken everything out of it that we want, but other than that, part of the deal, and they write it into the contract, is that we're leaving it, we're walking away, and you have to take everything out or keep whatever you want to do with it, but we're not taking any of it.
With us today is attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Our phone number is 570-209-7901, and our websites are www.obrienlawpalikeinpennsylvania.com. or www.pinnacle-abstract.com.
Thank you. Pat?
We have a beautiful three-bedroom, two-bath townhouse at 205 Knoll Ridge Drive for $230,000. This home, it's got a full basement that could be a family room or an extra bedroom. This home has a new roof, central air conditioning, a one-car attached garage, a fireplace, stainless steel appliances, great room sizes, and it's also got a really nice large rear deck, and it's in move-in ready. That's a beautiful 1,300-square-foot, three-bedroom, two-bath townhouse at 205 Knoll Ridge Drive in Factoryville for $230,000, and that's listed by Karen Kashuba of our office.
Keep tuned in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Reddy Real Estate, and 94.3 The Talker. We will return shortly after a quick break. Are you ready to make your next move in the world of real estate? Look no further than Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate, your trusted partner in buying and selling homes. If you're a homeowner looking to sell, Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate will ensure you get the best possible price in today's competitive market. And if you're in the market to buy your dream home, Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate will help you find the perfect place to call your own.
Congratulations.
We've adopted the popular saying, an educated consumer is our best customer. That's why since 2010, we've hosted the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate Saturdays at 11 a.m., Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 The Talker. Visit jreddy.com. That's JRUDDY.com, or call 570-344-6724. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, where dreams find their address. We're picking up where we left off. This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
And we're back.
With attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract in Taylor, Pennsylvania. Okay, so we're talking about pitfalls in real estate contracts. And right before the break, we were talking about as is. Does that protect a seller from failing to disclose that their basement floods like the Amazon in July?
No, there are still disclosure requirements. So in Pennsylvania, the seller does have to disclose all material defects of the property that they're aware of, and there is a whole form for that disclosure to put that information on there. There is also a federal form for lead paint disclosure. There's all sorts of disclosures that have to make.
I'm selling it on my own. I got to do this also.
Absolutely.
Right? Or I can get sued.
Absolutely.
Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
So, and here's another situation. We were talking about contingencies. So there's a 7-day default to apply for a mortgage in the PAR sales contract, right? So if the agent didn't fill in a longer time frame, the buyer has 7 days to apply a written application to a lender. Here's a true story. I had buyers lose their deposit once, and it was because there was a problem with the exterior of the property. These people were out of state. They were moving in from another area. I think it really boiled down to the fact that they weren't selling their home in another state, which they thought they were going to do within the first week of putting it on the market. And we went for extension after extension. So the inspections were already done, but there was a problem with the home that they were purchasing here with the exterior. And so they were using that as the reason why they wanted to terminate. The seller had a very clever attorney, took them to the magistrate, and had the banker, the lender, the mortgage loan officer go to the magistrate and was asked if they applied for a mortgage within that 7-day time frame, and they had not, and they lost their deposit.
Sure they did, because even if it wasn't related to the reason why they wanted to terminate, they still were required to comply with the terms of the contract.
Correct.
Until that point.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there's not a lot of people that go that deep when it's about stuff like that.
Right.
And they just didn't, most people just don't really understand the importance of those timelines.
Sure. And a lot of times that is when you have to rely on your realtor who does these, who goes through this process all the time, knows all the timelines, because really for a buyer or their attorney, I suppose, but the buyers, maybe they do this once or twice in their lifetime, and they also aren't lawyers. They don't read these contracts every day, and they can be very, very overwhelming. There's lots and lots of pages to read through. So very often they rely on professionals to remind them, look, you got to remember, you got to go apply for your loan. We've got to pick a title company. We've got to get the inspections ready to go. And a lot of times they rely on their professionals that they've hired to work with them on this.
Did they talk to the lender? Yes, they talked to the lender, but they didn't make formal written application. And now you can do it online.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was doing it at that time, it wasn't all done online.
Right.
Right?
Not as easy as it is now.
Right. It was very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any things the buyer and seller should double check? Anything that you want to help us with here in terms of time frames, disclosures?
One thing that people often don't think of is in the section that talks about what kind of personal property is coming with the house. You want to make sure if you're selling the refrigerator with the house, the refrigerator is listed. If you're selling the pool equipment, that's also included there. All sorts of things like that needs to be included. What people don't understand too, this is a little bit of a foreign concept, but for example, if you have a TV mounted to your wall, that's called a fixture.
Yes.
If something is attached to your property, physically attached to the property, that is called a fixture, and it gets sold with the house. If it's removable, if you can take the you can take the TV off the mount, but you can't take the mount. So there are things like that. You can take the washer and dryer, but things like you know, the TV mount, I can't think of another thing right now that would be a fixture necessarily, but built-in bookcases, built-in desks, all of those, you know, a deck on the back of the house even, those kinds of things, even a shed, unless it's really truly removable, all of those things really stay with the house as fixtures. But there are often times where personal property is going to transfer with the house.
Right. And there's a whole paragraph that's pre-printed in our agreement of sale. And what the listing MLS detail sheet says, what the seller's disclosure says, is doesn't matter if it's not on the agreement of sale. It has to be on the agreement of sale.
Exactly. If the MLS listing says the pool supplies are being sold with the house, you still have to transfer that over to the agreement of sale.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so all appliances are included. I've seen that.
Does that mean my toaster is included?
All right. So mm-hmm. all appliances are included, right? They didn't specify.
You got to write down what they are.
Right.
Absolutely. Not it could be confusing.
It could be because they mean kitchen appliances and you have a washer and dryer and a laundry room, which is separate from the kitchen or down in the lower level. And so all appliances are all appliances.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it can get really crazy at a closing table.
Right. Yeah.
Spell it out.
Yep.
Over-disclose.
Over-disclose, right. Always, yes.
Now, what about disclosures? What do you want to talk about?
I don't know if we have time to talk about disclosures right now, but we can. You do have to disclose all material defects of the property. If you know that the basement floods, like you said, you've got to disclose it. If you know that the floor slopes because you've got bad footers in the back of the house, although you don't want to disclose it, you really have to disclose it. If your roof leaks, but it's not leaking right now, you still have to disclose that the roof leaks. All of those kinds of things are on that disclosure, and really you have to over-disclose. The good way to do things is to over-disclose and let the buyer make their decision, let their home inspector look at it at least and evaluate and give the buyer a real good idea of what they are actually buying. I can't tell you how many calls I get from buyers that want to sue the previous or that want to sue the seller of their house or the realtors who were involved in the sale because everybody knew that this was the case and nobody told me. It is very, despite what you may have heard, it is very, very hard to sue on a failure to disclose case.
Getting back to appliances.
Yes.
Okay. So how many times did the seller say the refrigerator, stove, dishwasher, microwave were included, washer and dryer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the sales contract.
Oh, I know where this is going.
You do?
Yep.
And before the closing, they switch out those all those items.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it happens.
Wow.
And buyers know.
Sure.
Buyers do realize.
That's interesting. I've never heard that one before.
Oh, no. We've been involved. Lot of tricky, sneaky people.
So I would suggest if the seller does not intend on leaving the current appliances that they switch it out before they start marketing the house. Today we have pictures, a lot of different angles of the kitchen, and it's really easy mm-hmm. to tell if that refrigerator was changed out or whatever.
Yeah.
But it happens, and they it's not really a good idea, and it's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Sneaky.
It is sneaky. I have not ever heard of that, but mm-hmm. you guys do these walkthroughs, and you know the day before closing if something's looking different than it did when you saw the house originally.
Well, especially if they were stainless steel on the walkthrough and the inspection, and now they're rusted out white.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, blatantly obvious, but I mean, usually sometimes, but they'll try to sneak it in and they won't tell anybody. And we all look bad when that happens,
yeah.
right?
Well, seller especially looks bad.
Attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
My phone number is 570-209 7901. And our websites are www.obrienlawpalikeinpennsylvania.com or www.pinnacle-abstract.com.
Check in with us next Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. for more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate, and 94.3 The Talker.